It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, live from the Racing Boys studio. Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here today. Kirk Elliott hanging over out here in the corner of the room. I don't know what he does. He just kind of hangs out over there, and he just listens to the broadcast to make sure everything's going good. And we really appreciate Kirk Elliott always hanging out with us here at Racing Boys HQ. Got a good show lined up for you today. As you know, we normally visit with Lee Spencer on Mondays, talk about what happened at the Cup race and what's going on in the world of open-wheel racing. And the World of Outlaws raced this weekend, and Brent Marks picked up the win at Devil's Bowl Speedway. He's going to join us as well. We'll be talking to him here in just a little bit. Austin, how was your weekend, bud? I'm going to start off by saying that my producer, Austin O'Neill, who is a sprint car driver, let's just make it perfectly clear, he's proud to be called a sprint car driver, decided this weekend at the last minute to drive somebody else's modified, John Cullors modified, right? Correct?
Is yep.
That right? And the number 9 car, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't that his number when he raced back in the day?
No, he actually told me a story about that. His number was like 46 back in the day.
Oh, it was 46.
It was. So the story behind the 9 is he worked for GM for many years. Well, they have like different like level rankings as you move up GM, and you start off at number 1, and like number 9 is like management. So through the years, he got up to management, and he retired as management, and they always called him number 9 because he went through the system.
Yeah.
And so he just he stuck with it, and now we're racing the car number 9.
So let's talk a little bit. It wasn't your highlight of your career driving that modified Saturday night. You haven't driven a stock car, or when was the last time you drove a stock car?
2019,
so
September.
It's been a couple years.
A long time.
Right. So you got into the modified, and you told me the first thing you try to do is drive it like a sprint car, and that didn't work out too well, did it?
No, and we actually, this was kind of came together around the Chili Bowl time, and I just kind of kept it quiet, and we went and scaled the car Friday, and I was sitting at home in the shop. I was tired of sitting in the shop doing nothing for the past couple of weekends,
right.
And I gave him a phone call, and I'm like, you guys want to go racing tonight? And they loaded the car up and met me up at the track. And, you know, it was a good night in a couple different ways, but not really what I'm used to, you know, in the sprint car. But, no, it was a good learning experience.
Hold on now. Before we go too far, I want you to take me through the first couple laps of you driving the modified and how much different it felt.
Well, I'm used to, like, with the suspension, you know, kind of raising up in the left rear, that didn't really bother me that much.
You're used to leaning on the wing.
I am, and
right.
I'm used to having a lot of downforce too, and big tires. Well,
right.
I took off for hot laps, and I came flying down the back stretch, and I threw it in there kind of like a stock car would, because I don't have a problem driving them sideways, and the tires didn't, I mean, you got little hockey pucks on there compared to my sprint car tires. She didn't hold, and I spun her out, but no, we kind of just backed it off a little bit and decided to get my laps for the night, but yeah, it was a world of difference.
You ended up running, what, 7th, 8th, something
like
that?
Yeah, and there's only 10 cars. I mean, I passed a couple of cars at the end of the feature. Granted, I only had, you know, one working rear brake rotor or brake system. I blew the right rear caliper off of it. And rotor, so yeah, I was a little bit of a disadvantage there, but not too bad for a sprint car guy, you guess, right?
Yeah, so it's so funny that you told me this. You told me that the guy that was pitted next to you, he didn't know who you were, right?
No
clue.
That was a good thing.
And he come up to you and he says, is this the first time you ever drove a modified?
Yeah, I come back from hot laps, and I'm kind of talking to Dad about what I'm supposed to be doing. And he walked over to me, and granted, you're kind of up in the country up there, and he was a hillbilly-looking dude. And
you didn't say that, a hillbilly-looking dude.
I didn't say it to him, but I'll just be honest. And he walked up, he was like, yeah, you ever raced before? And I'm like, I race sprint cars. I don't know what I'm really doing in a modified. And he's like, he kind of looked at me funny, and I'm like, I mean, I raced before. I know what's going on. I just don't race modifieds. And he's like, yeah, you just got to use the brake to get the car up on the bars and just keep it there. So he gave me a little bit of advice, but he kind of thought I was an alien there for a second.
Yeah. So did the way that you had to hold it up on the bars, you had to kind of drag the brake a little bit once you got it up on the bars? Tell me how you had, what was the difference in the way you drove the
car?
Yeah,
so the big thing with the modifieds, I mean, in the sprint cars, you'd ride the brakes to get the car to turn. When the modified, kind of do
the
same.
The gas, right?
You're on the gas. It's the same kind of concept, but different way you got to use it. Mm-hmm. So you get to the end of the straightaway and you start to roll off the throttle. Well, as you're rolling off the throttle, get on the brakes. So now what that does, adds a floater brake system on it. It's what I was told, and it helps kind of keep the car loaded up on the suspension, up on the bars, and then you can use the wheel and get back on the gas to kind of break the tires loose to get it into the corner. So
yep.
It's kind of a technical car to drive and very, very demanding.
That was a Bill's built, wasn't it?
It was. It was, yep. Car handled just fine. I'll be honest with you. I'm used to just holding her wide open and just letting my arms do the work. And I got a little tired after that race.
Did the Bill's built win the King of America?
It did not. An LG2 by Owens won.
Oh, okay.
But Tyler Davis won his first ESMTS race on a Bill's built.
Ah.
So, I mean, it's a good car.
Yeah.
Just you gotta get your driver a little bit better before we do anything else.
Am I wrong, or was Bill's built originally out in Bonner Springs, Kansas? Wasn't that Bill Afolik that originally owned Bill's built?
I'm not sure. I just know it's in Wichita.
Well, I know Bill's built. There was a Bill's built out in Bonner Springs at one time. Bill Afolik was out there building those race cars. I'm not sure if he sold that brand to somebody else and they called it Bill's built, or if somebody else just started a Bill's built company. I'm not sure. Yeah, me neither. All right, well, we want to thank everybody. Marie, she's there. We can always count on her every day. Caleb's chiming in with us. So is Marvin. He's checking in from Miamisburg, Ohio. We appreciate you checking in with us each and every week. Let's get right into it. Let's talk a little bit about what happened down at Devil's Bowl this weekend. Brent Marks picks up the victory. Gosh, you know, as much as I love the Edwards family, I got to say it. The track was a little narrow down there this weekend, wasn't it? But
it was.
Yeah.
But at least we got the race.
Yeah. At least the race was good enough. But starting up front was the key to winning that race, wasn't it?
No, you're exactly right. And you look at your top three. Brian Brown ran third. He started on the pole. Brent Marks started next to him. He won it. And Donnie ran second, right?
You know, Brian didn't do a bad job.
No.
I really thought maybe he might have a chance to win, but he just kind of faded there.
You know, his car fired off good, but five laps into it, he just lost that, like, raw pace, really.
Yeah.
And he just, once he got to traffic, either the air kind of affected the car, and he couldn't run as good as he did in clean air.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was good to see. You know, really, I was kind of pulling for Brown, though, weren't you, a little bit? Come
little
on
bit.
Now.
Yeah,
you gotta admit,
I mean, I have to.
You buy your race cars from him, right? And you buy a lot of equipment from him. So you have to naturally kind of root for the guy. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was good to see him. Yeah, I kind of call him Mr. Half Mile, because anytime we go to Knoxville or Lakeside or Devil's Bowl, I mean, he's a contender for the win, and
yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been down there in a couple of years, I think, and it was good to see him, you know, go down there and kind of fire off with some good speed.
Hey, why did they single file restart? Remember when Parker Price Miller
hit the
wall?
I think the rule is,
what is that?
If they
have,
I think the rule is if they have two back to back yellows, they go to single file.
Yeah,
because they didn't make a lap with Parker Price.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody just mentioned, what's the deal with Hoosier and Brent Marks there? You picked up on it, and I know I did as well. They put the Hoosier thing around his neck, as they always do in Victory Lane, and before he walked around the car, he ripped that thing off and threw it on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that was all about, because he has a Hoosier sticker on his car.
Right, so I think this... So last week, a parts company in Pennsylvania came out with an announcement on the Hoosier tire price increase, and he made a post about it, how he just didn't agree with it, and I mean, nobody does, right?
Right, right, right.
And he was forced to run a World of Outlaw sticker that included the Hoosier sticker, and I guess, like, you know, probably in protest or disagreement with Hoosier, he took a black piece of tape, covered it up, And then when he was forced to wear the Hoosier band,
he ripped it off.
He wore it as long as he had to and took it off whenever he could.
I got to chime in. Martin Edwards, he chimed in. He said they had 5 inches of rain Friday night and Saturday morning down there. And there isn't anything that's not going to make the track kind of heavy when that happens. Listen, we know that LR and Martin are going to give the biggest effort they can to try to make that track good, right?
Right.
We know that. They're not lazy. They're not slackers. They're not just going to lay there and just let it be. But unfortunately, with the weather they had down there, the track was just a little bit narrow. So no disrespect to you, Martin. We know that you and LR work your asses off down there to make that track as good as it can be. So we just want to make sure that you understand that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they could have easily canceled it like what happened at Lawton.
Right.
You know, we could be sitting here not talking about whoever took home 20,000, you know.
Right.
But
they had a huge crowd
they
down
did.
There, man. Oh, my gosh, they had a big, giant crowd down there. I'm happy for them, man. I you know, listen, there's nothing I want more than for the Edwards family to be successful down there at Devil's Bowl Speedway. I'm kind of bummed out that they weren't able to get the race in over there at Lawton, too. That was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, hopefully.
Wayne made the right call on that one, though,
Wayne saved some money.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can go back here in the wintertime or the fall time and have two more races at Lawton and Devil's Bowl and hopefully get both of them in.
You know, that race down there at Devil's Bowl, I think the one thing that stood out to me the most when that race kind of got to go in there a little bit, Brent Marks was really good through the lap traffic. Did you see the way he worked that traffic, man? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that was the deal decider, you know, your deal breaker. And, you know, Brown couldn't just kind of hold his.
Them.
Yeah, he couldn't hold his pace that he was in clean air. And, you know, he did say in his post-race interview, you can roll here in a little bit, you know, that, you know, he was getting tight in traffic with the dirty air, but it wasn't as bad as others were. And he was still able to run, you know, at his clean air pace. And that was, you know, with the track being that narrow, you really couldn't move around and pass anybody. And that was the key to winning.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what happened down there at Creek County. They moved that race from Tulsa Speedway over to Creek County because of the weather. And they did get that race, and they had a little rain delay, I believe, down there. The track was pretty decent. It looked like Ryan Timms was on his way to victory, but our old boy Blake Hahn reeled him in.
I think you mean 81 Speedway.
I said 81. I said Creek, didn't I?
You did.
I said Creek. Why did I say Creek?
Well, Creek was, well, I don't know.
I don't know why I said Creek. I don't know. I'm getting old, so just make sure you correct me whenever I make a mistake there. But 81 Speedway, I will tell you, I am really impressed. You know, typically when years gone by, when we used to go there, used to burn up a lot of tires there,
yes.
Right? Take rubber down on the bottom. But that's not what we've seen since they've put the wall in there and since Johnny Allen has taken over that racetrack, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten 10 times better, and, you know, it's produced a lot of good racing. Because I remember I went down there years ago, and it was just one lane, like you said, and took rubber, and now we're seeing, you know, a curb, a track with tons of moisture and big slide jobs, and, I mean, as a sprint car fan, you don't want anything else besides that, and it's just kind of turned the nature around at that track, and it's really becoming a really good sprint car track here locally.
You know, to me, when I look at that place, it baffles me to see it with a wall.
It's weird, isn't it?
It is so weird, man. I just can't get past it. Why is that? Why am I having a problem getting past that?
I don't know. It makes it look like, I mean, it's the same track layout as it used to be, but you just look at it and it's like, man, it looks like it's a whole different track that they constructed here. But,
yeah,
you know, I think with the wall, it's... It adds a little bit better of an element to racing. You know, now the cushion doesn't fly off the track. Now the cushion can build up against the wall, and it just,
yeah,
I think it provides for a little bit better racing.
Brandon Anderson won on Friday night at Creek.
Yes.
But he didn't have that much luck at 81 Speedway.
No.
I didn't see what happened to him. I'm not sure if he got into the wall, but it folded up the axle, and the right front of his nose wing was beat up a little bit, so I'm thinking he might have got into the wall, but it definitely folded up that axle. He was out early in that race.
He was, and you know, he was a strong contender to come back and maybe back up his wins that weekend. And you know, then the video we watched of the highlights, the track was kind of had a kind of a curvy cushion to it. So, you know, we saw a couple guys kind of get over it and get stuck in it. And I think he just kind of plowed through it one lap and got up over the cushion and hit the wall. And it just, whenever you have those, you know, big cinder blocks for a wall, right, it destroys a car, and it just ate its front axle alive.
Do you think that, gosh, I'm going to say it because that's what we do on this show. Do you think Ryan Timms, once Blakon got by him and did that little slider down there in 3 and 4 and was able to pull him down the front straightaway, keep his pace up, do you think Ryan Timms kind of imploded a little bit right there?
Yes. I only reason I say yes is, I mean, now if you were a seasoned veteran that's been in a sprint car for years, kind of like Blake.
Right, he's a young kid.
Yeah, he's a young kid, and it's just lack of maybe a little bit of experience and maybe a little maturity. And, you know, I think at that point it's like scramble mode. Oh, I messed up. You know, now I got to recover and make up what I lost. And
right,
now you start either making mistakes or, you know, he did kind of recover there. He ran Blake back down and threw a last
right
quarter slider.
Right,
and it didn't stick. But, yeah, you know, I think it kind of, you know, brought a light to Ryan's eyes that he, you know, better get up on the wheel.
Yeah. Well, I think the future is really bright for Ryan Timms,
for
don't
sure
you think?
Right? For sure.
I mean, that kid has got just oozes with talent, right? He just needs more experience. I mean, what is he, 16?
I believe so.
I think he just turned 16, just got his driver's license, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But I think that Ryan Timms is going to be a superstar in his day at some point. You know, I'm not sure how long we're going to keep him in 360 racing. I think eventually he's going to be over there running 410s, right? Don't you think?
I think once Ryan turns up to the age that he's, you know, eligible to go race with the Outlaws, he'll be...
How old do you got to be to run with the
16.
Outlaws? Oh, you do?
So I think he's 15. I think he turned 16 this year.
I thought I heard them say on the broadcast that he just turned 16,
well,
and he got his driver's
license.
I'll
be honest with you. Every time you hear Ryan get announced, his age is always different.
14, 15, 16. It's, you just never know.
You never know. So,
yeah.
Until we see him at an Outlaw race, we'll know he's not 16.
Hey, did you see where Tyler Davis picked up the modified win down there at 81 Speedway, too?
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, how about that?
Not bad, or not too bad of a run.
Pretty good car count, 25 cars down there at 81 Speedway. That's not too bad. I guess you usually get some NCRA guys that come over there and try to run with them when they show up at 81.
No, I think a lot of the cars were returning from a creek the night before.
You think so? How many did they have over at creek, do you know?
I think about the same amount.
I'll take a look here real quick. I've got that here nearby. Oh, gosh. I would say that, and then I don't have it, right?
Let me pull my race
pass. Oh, here we go. Here,
nope,
I've got
you
it.
Get it?
I got it. So there was 27 cars at Creek on Friday night.
Yeah, 27 both nights?
Yeah.
So
27, 25.
Yeah. I know, like, Danny Jennings didn't race at Creek, so I know he was a new car. I know a couple cars, you know, were probably new to 81 in that Creek, so... I mean, 27 cars two nights in a row at tracks that are, what, 3-4 hours apart? It's not too bad.
Yeah, not too bad. All right. Well, listen, we've got a really good show lined up for you today. Again, here in just a few minutes, we're going to have Brent Marks. He's going to join us, talk about his win down at Devil's Bowl Speedway. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have Lee Spencer on. She's going to talk about everything that's Cup. We'll talk a little open wheel racing with her. Don't forget, tomorrow on Mostly Motorsports, we're going to have Blake Hahn talking about his big win down at 81 Speedway. You know, Blake picked up $15,000 there once.
He did?
Remember that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he picked up their big, gosh, I can't think of the name of that race that they have there, but it was $15,000 to win.
Heck of a payday.
That's a good payday.
It is.
You'd like to get one of those, wouldn't you?
I just want to win a race.
You just want to win.
We're close. I think this year we got a good program put together this winter, and, you know, it's taken us 4 years to kind of get established in this deal, and I think this is the year that something turned around for us.
Oh, by the way, you're only 18.
Yeah, I know.
You're young. You still got a ways to go before you get all that experience. You know that, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, well, my past 2 years I haven't ran but more than 20 races a year.
Who do you lean on for advice the most when you need advice?
I think probably Blake. And I worked with Brian Brown for a while when we first started, and then, you know, we kind of grew a good relationship with Blake and Tommy and Dalton. And it's just, if I got a question, it's just call Blake or call Ayrton Jennison's the only other one I really talk to. But I don't I don't try to get my circle pretty big. I keep it kind of close.
You're kind of like me. You keep your circle of friends kind of small, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good thing to do that.
Right.
Especially when you're in radio and you piss off people when you say things on the radio, right? Have you ever said anything yet that you might have ticked off Ryan Timms today?
I mean, maybe, but I'm just being honest.
It's all right.
I just try to be honest with everybody.
I've told you for years on here, man, you know, you can't have everybody love you.
No. Tommy did say he won 13,000, not 15.
It was 13,000.
Yep. At the Air Capital Shootout.
Is that what it was called?
That's what he said.
13K. Sorry still about a good that, payday. Tommy. That was still pretty damn good. I remember that. Tommy, was he wearing the Racing Boys fire suit that night? That's what I want to know. Was he wearing the Racing Boys fire suit? Man, he sure wins. He won Short Track Nationals in it last year.
Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, this weekend's winner with the World of Outlaws down at Devil's Bowl Speedway, Brent Marks joins us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be back with more in a moment. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
Three nine-hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is this weekend's winner down at Devil's Bowl Speedway, Brent Marks. How you doing, Brent?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying a nice day down here in Texas.
Oh, yeah. So is the weather nice down there today?
Yeah, it is. It's much better than what it is back home. So we came from pretty cold weather and got down here and just enjoying every aspect of what Texas has to offer so far. So we're just enjoying our time and celebrate a little bit there after Saturday night's win. So we're just having a good time.
Man, I guess you were pretty bummed out when you pulled all the way out from PA and you got to Lawton and it rained out. And then you're thinking about, man, I'm just going to run a one-day show here. But it all worked out because that was a big payday for you there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. You know, that was obviously the race that you wanted to win on the weekend. But, it was kind of disappointing there to pull in the Lawton and then, we just got a small rain shower, and then it just kept building up in the distance there, and you could see it coming. So they definitely made the right call on pulling that show, but like I said, it was disappointing to drive 22 hours to get there and have that happen. But we mainly came down here to race down here at Devil's Bowl and race on the home turf of our primary sponsor and partner here and M&M Painting and Construction and the whole Murray family. So to get a win on their home turf was pretty special for me and pretty special for them. So it was just cool.
Yeah, had a good car count at both tracks. Talk about down there at Devil's Bowl. You mentioned a little bit about it, the elevation on the back straightaway where you come up off of turn two, you kind of go uphill, and then you drop down into turn three a little bit. Just talk about that. There's a lot of people don't talk about it, but it's pretty easy when you come up off a turn two. If you get really wide, you could drop off the back straightaway a little bit over there, getting up off a turn two too.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty difficult track to drive because you have two totally different corners. Turn one and two is a lot more narrower on entry, and it's just a sharper corner. And then off of two, like you said, you have to run uphill and you're running uphill into basically the blind because there's not really a wall there for a guide. So, you just got to be careful on your exit there not to get too high. And running uphill like that just kind of does some different things to your race car as well. It gets you a little bit on the tighter side. And then you roll down into three and you just kind of like drive down into three and it's a more sweeping corner and you carry more speed. It's just a different racetrack. It's definitely a lot of fun, though.
Do you feel, because where you race out in PA, that you excel a little bit better on the big tracks than maybe the short tracks?
I don't know. I feel like we have a pretty good program everywhere we go right now. But, I think it's a little easier to adapt to the bigger tracks just because of where I do come from.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like overall our program's pretty good no matter where we go. So, I'm pretty confident with all that. So it's just, I do agree with you there. Like coming from Pennsylvania, we have a lot of bigger tracks and even the tracks that we do consider short there are still bigger than some of these short tracks you race out here on the road. So, it's just what we grew up racing and we just adapt a little easier to those type of tracks when we are out here on the road.
Right. You gave a run at the World of Outlaws a couple years ago. I can't think of what year it is, but you went out there and you gave it a run, but you ended up going back home. Talk about the challenges of running with the World of Outlaws full time.
Yeah, no, it's really hard. I did the Outlaw Tour for 3 years. We were on it from 2017 to 2019. And, at the end of 2019, I had an opportunity to go drive for another team. And, I felt like at the time that was, a new challenge, and it was something that I wanted to do. And I took that opportunity and you know, just ran that car for, I think it was a little over a year, and ended up getting back in my car, and we really haven't, you know, got back out on the road again. I mean, one day I hope to get back out on the Outlaw Tour. I just, you know, I really enjoy racing with the series, and, you know, they are the best in the business, and, yeah, you know, man, you're, you know, and every time you race with them, you just get better and better yourself too. So I just, like I said, I really enjoy racing with the Outlaws and want to try to get back out there one day, but, you know, when I jumped back in my car last year, we just kind of did a pick and choose schedule, and, you know, it went really well, and we did the stuff that made sense. And, you know, we just, you know, sat down and talked about this season, and we're like, we're just going to do the same thing, you know, you know, and just see how it goes, you know, especially with the price of everything, how everything's going up, and it's just harder to try to get a budget together to do the Outlaw Tour and, you know, be successful at it financially. So,
right.
We just felt like this was our best decision to do this type of schedule this year. And it's nice because, you know, we're not locked down. We can kind of go race wherever we want. And the weather don't look good. We can change our schedule on the fly and just try to go somewhere different, you know? So it's,
yeah,
you got a lot more freedom that way. And, you know, I think it keeps, you know, everybody a little happier.
Right, right. So. Brown was out there in the lead. What did you feel? Did you feel like you got a little faster as the race went on? You know, the track was kind of narrow, right? It was a little narrow. Yeah. And they had a lot of rain down there, and we understand that. And that's a challenge in itself at Devil's Bowl Speedway. First of all, the pits are a challenge, as well as, yeah, the racetrack when they get a little rain down there. But did you feel like Brian started to slow down a little bit, or did you feel like your pace picked up a little bit there towards when you started running Brown down? I think it was like lap 4 or 5 when you caught him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I usually, you know, our deal is kind of more of like a long run type situation. And we always seem to get better on those longer runs or towards the end of the race. And, you know, I just felt, I think Brian was fast, but I think we were just a little bit better. I could get through turn 1 and 2 better than he could. And he was a little bit more on the tight side in 1 and 2 and couldn't hold it down along the bottom. And I was just able to rotate and keep my speed around the bottom better than he was. And I was just able to get a run on him down the backstretch and get by him in 3 and 4 there. And honestly, I just wanted the way the track was, I just wanted to ride behind Brian until we got the lap traffic and hope that he had made a mistake so that way I could get by him, just because it was so difficult to pass. But I had that opportunity there early in the race, and you know, obviously, you know, you have to pounce on those opportunities when there's a hole open. So I did, and then after that I was just able to control my own race. And yeah, it's a lot easier when the track's like that, when you can control your own pace and maneuver through cars without trying to chase somebody. So it was, you know, it was definitely better to be out front for sure.
I think you did an exceptional job at working your way through the traffic. I think you were just a little bit better than the rest of the guys trying to get through the traffic there as you got into that lap traffic.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, that comes with having a good car. You have to have a good car to maneuver around other cars. But, you know, I've never been known for my time trial efforts in the past, and we've gotten a lot better here the last, you know, year and a half. So, you know, things are starting to look up there. But so in the past there, like I said, I'm, you know, wasn't really known for my time trial efforts. So I had a lot of experience passing cars throughout the years. So it's just, right, you know, when I get the lap traffic, I just feel like I can outperform some of these guys. Just, I don't know, just because I've been so used to having to try to come from the back and work my way up through. And it's just, you know, I just think I can get through lap traffic better than some of these other teams. So, which is really important, you know, because lap traffic wins and loses your races a lot more than people think. So,
right,
you know, you got to be good. Got to be good all the time. And it's just, it's a very difficult sport to be like that. But that's what we worked hard to do, work hard to start up front and run up front in these races and work our way through lap traffic and obviously ultimately win these things. So it's, yeah, it's a challenge.
Are you going to come up to US 36 Raceway in Osborne, Missouri, this weekend,
yeah,
and Lake Ozark Speedway?
Yep. So I'm planning on racing those two races, and then we'll head over to Peabody and race I-55 there for that weekend. And then after that, there's some bigger shows happening on the East Coast, and we'll go hit them races until the Outlaws come back east again.
Yeah. Well, US 36 Raceway, have you ever been there to that racetrack before?
No, I've never been there, so I'm excited to check off a new track on my list. So it's gonna be fun.
Have you ever raced at Eagle, Nebraska?
I was at Eagle one time back in, I think, 2017, my first year on the tour.
Yeah. US 36 Raceway is almost a twin to Eagle Raceway, just so you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost an exact twin to that place.
If that's the case, then it definitely will be a fun racetrack, so I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a giddy-up joint, man. It's really fast, short, and a lot of banking on it. It's a great racetrack. John Bowler's done a great job with that racetrack. It's just north of Kansas City where we're located, about 45 minutes north of us. And then Lake Ozark Speedway, have you ever raced down there before?
Yep, I have. I got quite a few races there at Lake Ozark with being on the Outlaw Tour. And then the last two seasons we had went out there and, we put that on our list that was one of the races to hit. So, always enjoy going to Lake Ozark, and that's going to be a good weekend there too. I think that's a $15,000 win race, so it's another big one that we want to try to capture.
Yeah, that's the Jason Johnson Classic. Do you have any memories of Jason Johnson and any interaction with Jason back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, he was one of the nicest guys I've personally met, and when I first joined the Outlaw Tour, he was one of the very first ones to come up to me and just, wish me good luck, and if I needed any help, just to let him know, because he knew how tough it was to do this, and he just put it out there that if I ever needed anything, he's only a phone call away. So that meant a lot to me, because I'm out there competing against him, and he didn't have to do that, but he put out a lending hand there, and anything I ever needed, I felt comfortable calling Jason. But definitely a legend in our sport for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I traveled with the Lucas Oil ASES National Tour. I did their broadcast for 13 years, and I was around Jason a lot, and he was so heady, right? He was so smart and so intelligent about the ins and outs of our sport that anytime that you wanted to talk to him, you knew when you asked him a question, he was going to give you a solid answer.
Yeah, exactly. And he was somebody that his own team and made it successful. And that was always, a huge goal of mine. And what I still try to continue today is to build a successful race team that's, my own. So, and I've learned a lot from watching him and the way he has handled himself and things like that, and building, relationships with partners he's just a great example for that. And, like I said, I've always looked up to him, as one of the reasons. So it's just, he was a special guy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Brent, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us here on the show, man. That was a hell of a win for you. Was that your eighth World of Outlaw win, I believe?
Yeah, I think that's what they said. It was my eighth World of Outlaw win. So we've, hopefully we can get some more this year. And I think we're racing with the Outlaws 40-some times this year. So we've got a lot more chances to get some more wins. So I'm excited to continue to have those opportunities.
Yeah. Rhonda on our chat room here, she wants to know, are you going to run Ohio Speed Week?
So the plan right now is we're going to go out and race Knoxville with the Outlaws, and then on our way back, we're probably going to hit the last half of Ohio Speed Week. So, but we're just kind of keep an eye on it. It's just really hard right now with these price increases in tires and just everything going on right now.
It's crazy.
It's making it very, very difficult to run a race team, and race as much as we want to. So. Got to be very careful, not to over budget ourselves, we do this professionally and it's a business, so we got to, be smart about it. But that is our plan currently, though, to try to hit the last half of it.
All right. Every once in a while, I got to ask a hard question, and this is going to be a hard question for me to ask. But I got to ask you, they put the Hoosier thing around your neck, and right before you went up and got your trophy, you ripped it off and took it off. What is there a story behind all that?
I guess it's starting to take.
Oh, I think we lost him. Now we got you back. Okay, Brent, go ahead.
Second increase of the year, and it's just frustrating, you know, because I can understand maybe a $5, $10, $15 price increase, but they're hitting us $30, $40 at a shot.
Yeah, no
doubt. And we're up close to almost $100 more tire than we were last year. And, you know, keep hearing rumors of this summer it's going to go up again. And it's like, man, I'll be honest with you. I spent $70,000 in tires last year. Mm. And this year with these tire price increases, I'm projecting $95,000 to $100,000. And our budgets were already set for the year. And that's the frustrating part. You know, I can't. You know, my sponsors already set their budget, so, like, I can't go back to them and ask for more money because they've already made their budgets for the year. And it's just very frustrating, and there's not a whole lot of communication going on about any of it. And, I'll be honest with you. I just have a hard time being forced to run a logo on my car that I think is not really helping the racers out at all, so.
Yeah. Do you think
that's why I did that?
Do you think we'll run out of tires before the year's up? I've been saying it on this show for the last few days that I'm a little concerned when we get to July and August that we're going to run out of tires. Do you think that might be the case?
Yeah. I mean, it could be. I don't know. That's one thing I really haven't heard any rumors about. And that's another thing, like I said, about the communication. Like, it would be nice if they had an open dialogue with us and just kind of let us know what the future looks like, because, you know, we don't know. We just all of a sudden, you know, we wake up one morning and find out, oh, well, this is happening. You know, there's just no communication. It's very frustrating. And, and it's hard to run a race team like that when you're living with so many unknowns.
No doubt.
But I don't know. We'll see. I'm not saying we need to change tire companies or open the tire roll up or anything like that. I just think something needs to be done about it, whether it's, okay, maybe we need to start looking at what some of these other series do and implement a medium right rear tire. That's what you have to run, and you can get some extra nights out of it. I mean, it doesn't sound like much money that night, but if you can get an extra night or two out of a right rear tire, that adds up to a lot of money at the end of the year.
No doubt about it.
A lot of money.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they're not talking hundreds of dollars. We're talking thousands of dollars. So it's
right.
I just think something needs to happen, and I felt like, you know, I was frustrated with the situation, and I felt like I was in a spot that, you know, I could maybe
make
try
a statement
to open some people's eyes up about making a change, you know,
yeah,
as far as, like, the rules go. And, you know, like I said, I'm not saying we need to get rid of Hoosier or, you know, open the tire roll up and allow other companies to come in, because I just don't think that other companies can, you know, produce what we need.
Right.
Yeah,
I got one more question here. I want to get in from somebody that's talking on the chat room. He asked, "What do you think about the early success with Heath on the wrenches?"
Yeah, no, everything's going great. So me, Heath, and Dennis are all working really well with one another, and that's one thing. Like, how I like to run my race team is, you know, it's not just one person; it's a whole team effort. We all work together and make decisions together, and we win and lose as a team. And, you know, he's been a great addition to my race team, and very, very lucky to have him on board.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Brent, I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. If you pick up another win down the road, we'd love to have you back on here on Mostly Motorsports. Congratulations on the win, and good luck to you this weekend up at US 36 and Lake Ozark Speedway, and both nights down at I-55. That's Peavely is one of the best tracks in the country. So good luck to you the rest of the way, my friend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. Brent Marks joining us here on the show. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Rod End Supply is involved with a variety of motorsports as well as industrial applications with many different types of products. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively. Whether you're racing at the circle track or drag strip, rock climbing, or going off-road, Rod End Supply has an assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products to keep your equipment moving. Rod End Supply's experienced staff is ready and willing to help you with your needs. Their promise is to continue to provide a superior product with superior service so you can stay in front of the field no matter what it is. To learn more, go to rodendsupply.com.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
39 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott. Austin O'Neill, producer extraordinaire, helping us out here today, as he does each and every day. And joining us now on the show is Racing Boys' own Lee Spencer. How you doing, Lee?
Oh, just moving in a grooving, Scotty boy.
What are you doing today? What are you doing that's so exciting today? Can I ask you some personal business? What are you doing today?
Well, last night we saw Todd Rundgren at the Ryman Theater, followed by Daryl Hall. So that was way, way cool. And we're just driving back from Nashville to North Carolina, North Kakalaki.
Daryl Hall. Hall & Oates, right? Do you ever watch that show where they play in his house? Do you ever watch
Daryl's
that?
Daryl's house.
You ever watch that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
so. If you look at the, I'll put the picture up on Facebook, but that's what he had in the background. He had a neon sign that said Daryl's house, and it was a really killer stage. And he had his house band with him, and Todd came out for, you know, an encore set with Daryl Hall, and then Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics came out and played with him. I mean, it was a hellacious show.
We were
sitting up in the balcony, and the acoustics at the Ryman are just, you know, outstanding.
I bet Reed knows the answer to this question if he's sitting there next to you.
He's right here, so ask away.
I want to know, the original guitar player with the house band that played at his house passed away. What was his name? Does Reed remember his name?
Whose house?
Daryl's house.
With Daryl Hall?
No, originally when that show started, they had a different guitar player. And
Shane Terry? He wants to know if it's Shane Terry.
I'm not sure what his name was, to be honest with you.
He had a picture up of somebody on the wall, and I don't know if that was a tribute or what, but I wasn't close enough. I mean, we were three rows back in the balcony, which were fabulous seats, but I mean, as far as seeing the, you know, detail on the stage set, it was, you know, a little difficult from up there.
How was Todd Rundgren?
But it was an amazing show.
I haven't heard of Todd Rundgren in a long time. How was his show?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last time Reed and I saw him was at the Orange Peel in Asheville. But from our house in the Midwest, we can be the Ryman in 4 hours, which is wonderful.
Wow. How about that? Well, let's.
And that's spectacular.
Yeah, no doubt,
I
man.
I saw Todd Rundgren in the round. He was playing out at Westport Playhouse in St. Louis. My gosh, this was probably back in the 80s, and it was like 300 people. He had the stage went around circular, and it was, oh, man, it was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen a show in the round. I saw him like that, and I saw you two like that. At the Kiel in St. Louis, and you know, that is really a phenomenal way to watch a band, because everybody gets a little something something, right?
Right. I watched the Foo Fighters, and they had a stage that spun around as they were playing one time, and it was really kind of cool. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on. First of all, What'd you think of that race down at Devil's Bowl? Brent Marks, we just had him on the show. He picked up the victory down there. He's a past National Open winner out at Williams Grove. What'd you think about Brent Marks' victory down at Devil's Bowl?
I thought that was pretty sporty. I mean, I thought it was a decent race. I was kind of going through withdrawal after the rain out, the night before, two nights before. It was all running together on the weekend. I was feeling like crap, but I thought he put on a good show. I was happy for him. It was nice to see somebody who wasn't, you know, a regular come out and get the job done.
Yeah, no doubt. It was good to see him win. He seems like a really good guy. He was on the show. He's going to be running this weekend up at US 36 up here just north of Kansas City, and then he's going to be running down at Lake Ozark Speedway, done two nights at I-55 in Peavely. You're not going to make it to Peavely because you're not going to be in Missouri, are you?
When?
I can't remember what the date. What is the date on that, Austin?
The 15th and 16th.
15th and 16th.
15th and 16th of
this.
Oh yeah, it's Bristol weekend.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, you won't be.
Yeah, I got to get on Schrader's ass, because everything he's planning, it's like when I've got some sort of conflict, because when the SRX series comes, I think that's when we're going to Alaska.
Man, so. I want to go to Alaska once. I don't know if I need to go more than once, but I'd love to go up there. But I don't want to go up there when it's cold.
I have a friend who's a photographer. He goes up every summer. He thinks it's absolutely spectacular. So
yeah.
I got to pick his brain about what to do.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little cup racing. Denny Hamlin picks up the win yesterday. Kevin Harvick was kind of a close second. William Byron was third. What'd you think of that race? I'm going to say it. That of all the races that we've ran this year, that was the least lackluster race of the year so far.
Well, if you're really into race strategy, that was the race for you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you had to pay attention to everything that was going on. You had to be scanning the radios. You know, you just had to follow Twitter. You had to make sure you had an idea what was. I wish I would have listened to MRN more. I did have MRN going. I had a scanner going. I had the TV going. But it's, you know, it was so crazy, and it just, you know, turned upside down depending upon what the strategy was. But what really blew my mind was the fact that I think with about, I don't know, 30 to go or something, Cliff Daniels told Kyle Larson that Hamlin's not going to get to you. Boy, was he wrong, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it took him a while, but he mowed him down, and he, you know, and brought Harvick with him. And I was, you know, it was like I figured, well, you know, Cliff should know, right? That you got the Hendrick brain trust there, maybe because Chad Knaus was in the booth and he wasn't at, you know, his command post. Mm-hmm. It screwed him up a little bit. I don't know, but. You know, usually Cliff Daniels is spot on. I don't know if he was just trying to give Larson a little encouragement or what, telling him Denny wasn't going to get to him. He said, Denny's the first one on, you know, who bit twice and he can't get to you. And it, so, I mean, I kind of took Cliff at his word, and then, you know, I guess about 10 to go, he mowed him down and then took out Truex and took out Byron and won the race.
Yeah, no doubt. Were you a little surprised that Ross Chastain started eighth and ran 19th yesterday? Were you surprised by that?
You know, you kind of felt the wheels might come off of it at some point, and then when he ran into Blaney, I think that was the beginning of his issues.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, it is so funny to see that happened, and Daniel Suarez, again, his teammate, runs 16th, so they kind of took a step back here the last couple weeks. You know, yesterday at one point, I thought maybe Martin Truex might pick up the victory. Did you think that as well?
Well, Denny, after the second stage, was really blown away with how fast Truex was.
Yeah.
And he made a comment to Gabehart about that. So I think he realized early on that was who he was trying to beat. And the Gibbs cars with, you know, four cars being identical, you know, with the new car and how these specs are and not having a lot of wiggle room with how you set these cars up.
Yeah.
Strategy was the way that they had to go to win that race. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really paid off big time for, you know, for Hamlin and Gabehart. The other thing, and, you know, I'm sure you watched it, was these phenomenal pit stops.
Yeah.
Setting the, you know, Kyle Busch's team set the record with a 9.19 four-tire pit stop.
Crazy.
Fastest pit stop in NASCAR history for a four-tire stop. So they're really changing the game. And Hamlin, you know, that team set personal best. I put that in my story. I kind of talked about that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Christopher Bell, all of a sudden, has shown some new, I don't know, it just seems like he's showing some speed in that car. What is the difference between Christopher Bell at the start of the year and what's going on with him right now? Because, man, the last couple of weeks, he's shown a lot of speed.
Well, they're digging themselves out of a hole, and I think it's just getting acclimated to the new car. It's going to be a moving target for the next few weeks, and you're going to start hitting on stuff and kind of find out, you know, find your groove, find out what makes you good with that car. And, you know, certainly you had momentum after coming from, gosh, I think he was 37th at Coda and fought back for that podium finish. And so, you know, having that kind of momentum and bringing that into Richmond, I think that was bigger for Bell than anything.
Right. Could maybe the biggest story of the season so far is that we've had seven races and we had seven different winners. Is that the biggest story of the year so far? No?
I think that is a changing of the guard with the under 30 set, right? I mean, this is Denny Hamlin was the first guy to win before this streak of, what was it, how many, 12 drivers under 30 winning, right?
So right.
He was the last guy over 30 to do that, and the first one to do it to kind of break the streak of these 30-somethings. And so I think that, you know, that is as big of a story as anything. It's just the fact that you have such a strong group of young drivers coming into the series and kind of upsetting the apple cart.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to get a first-time winner for the championship this year, Lee, because all these young guys are having so much success? Do you think we're going to see a first-time champion this year, maybe?
I think it's really possible that happens. I don't think it, you know, you could, a Byron could get hot, a Blaney could get hot,
right.
A Bowman could get hot, you know, one of those guys. You saw Bowman's streak last year, top 10 finishes. I would have never bet on that. He had top 10 finishes. He didn't have wins, though. You know, you got to have more than just one win when you're going to win a championship, unless you win that race at Phoenix. So, from that standpoint, they've got a little bit of work to do. But when you think about the car control that Bowman had, he pitted last on lap 310. He went 90 laps on those tires. I mean, clearly, he was working with nothing. You know, Truex was just moaning and bitching about not having any tires to work with. And the fact that Byron was able to stay the course the way he did on tires that were that old, to me, showed a lot of restraint and skill. And so I think that, you know, that bodes well for that team. But that's kind of, I think if it's going to be one of the guys that has yet to win a championship yet so far, it will come out of those guys. But Blaney has to win first. I mean,
right.
Blaney's having a phenomenal season and for whatever reason just can't find victory lane.
Yeah. Man, Ryan Blaney was so dominant early in that race yesterday. I was shocked to see him fall off and ended up running seventh yesterday.
I mean, I was too, but, you know, after he had contact with Ross Chastain, it kind of went in a different direction.
Yeah.
And Blaney has been really calm on the radio, but yesterday he lost it. And, man, the F-bombs that were coming out of the 12 radio, it was like, if F was a drinking word, you and I would have been hammered. but it's, you know, it's you'll have those days. You'll have those moments. And I think he probably felt that, you know, certainly it was the best run he was ever having at Richmond. He had only one top 10 finish at that track prior to last fall, you know. And so I think he really saw an opportunity, and he, you know, it went away after his running with Ross.
Right. You think Blaney just got a little sideways and come up there, and I think Ross Chastain, he just misread that a little bit, and then he came back in there and gave him the bumper. Again, I love Ross Chastain, and I love his attitude when he thinks he's done wrong. He just takes it in his own hands and takes care of himself out there on the racetrack. I don't know if that's good or bad, but we've needed somebody like Ross Chastain to get in there and use the bumper a little bit more, and that's what I like about. In fact, I'm just going to say it now. Ross Chastain is one of my favorite drivers right now in the Cup circuit.
Well, if the media is allowed to have favorites, yeah, put them up at the top. But here's my question to you as a former short track guy.
Yep.
Where is the line between Ross Chastain and Ty Gibbs, right? I mean, you know, it's I think it's kind of got to be somewhere in between, because I think John Hunter is right. And I feel so bad for John Hunter. And I don't know if you've ever been in a position, and you know, politics in racing sucks, right? Because John Hunter can't say anything about getting dumped by Ty Gibbs because, you know, granddaddy owns the team, and, you know, his father's the heir apparent over there. So it's like there's not a lot John Hunter can do but bite his tongue and you know, keep putting up results, because at some point he wants to move up the Toyota ladder and back into the Cup Series. So, you know, he's in a rough point, but or rough spot. But what he, you know, the one thing that he made note of, and I can't disagree with him, you can run through everybody all day long, but you piss off enough people during the regular season right. when it comes to championship and you have no friends, then what?
Yeah.
You keep hoping that that same strategy of running over people is going to work for you, or you just, you know, kind of give up and have.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that Austin and I were talking a little bit about this off air, that when I used to race people, and I used my bumper probably more than I should have at times, but you know what I always felt like when I would get in behind somebody and they'd start looking in their mirror, they'd start running a different line because they were paying more attention to me behind them than they were what was going on in front of them. And I think sometimes...
I mean, sometimes that's more intimidating to a driver than actually using the horn. I mean, if
right.
you think you're coming, I mean, isn't that... If they're looking in their... If you're mirror driving, you've already lost the game, right? Because you're not concentrating
Absolutely.
On what's ahead of you. You're worried about what's behind you. I mean, I've never driven a race car, but I would think that, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. And... I think you can be, you know, really aggressive and get, you know, in a guy's head and screw with him more than you can just using the bumper on him all the time.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the way I felt about it. You know, I always just felt like, you know, I was in their head because I used my bumper a little bit more. All right, we're going to Martinsville this weekend, two short track races in a row. Can Denny Hamlin win two in
Three.
A row? Or three in a row. Can Denny Hamlin, can he win at Martinsville this weekend?
Oh, I think he can. It wouldn't surprise me if he did, but I you know, there's going to be a lot of guys gunning for him. And so, you know, Martin Truex Jr., you know, I wouldn't forget about him. I think Bell has shown he's fast. I think it's up for grabs. I mean, honestly, after Hamlin, and I don't think we ever counted Denny out, but I think that, you know, I'd hate to have to be the odds makers right now, because I think with this new car, you just don't know until they unload. And it could come down to strategy again, like it did last week. So I'm not convinced that there's going to be a clear-cut favorite going into Martinsville this weekend.
Yeah. All right, Lee. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here. We'll talk to you on Saturday. I can't wait to watch Martinsville. It's one of my favorite races to watch. A little beating and banging. I love it. And I'm looking forward to this weekend in the Cup Series. I got to say it.
Cool. Can't wait either.
I've got to say it that I think I'm more excited about this year because of the new car and the young drivers making a push towards the top of the points right now. I don't think I've been more excited for a Cup season probably in the last 10 years.
Well, I think the dynamics changed dramatically, and there's certainly a level of aggression that we haven't seen before, right? And
yeah.
So you put all these different things into play, and, I mean, who expected to have such a intense race on Sunday? I mean, I think that kind of saved it. I didn't think the racing was all that. I thought the strategy really... you know, made that an interesting contest. So, I think we're probably going to see more of that throughout the season because, you know, it's like the Gibbs guy said, you know, you take the Gibbs guys, you take the Hendrick guys, you either take yourself out of it or you find a way to be better than your teammates. And I think that's going to be the key to these races. So the longer we go on, I think strategy is going to be play into it more with these, big, you know, these Uber teams.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Lee, what do you got coming up on Racing Boys?
I put up a story about the Gibbs group today. So there's a big announcement at the Hall of Fame tomorrow about Martinsville and their 75th anniversary. So hopefully we'll get some good stuff out of that as well.
If there's any earth-shaking news, we'll get back with you. Okay, Lee?
Cool.
All right. Thank you. We appreciate you so much.
All You guys take care. Have a great week.
All right. You too, Lee. All right. There's Lee Spencer, Racing Boys own. You can find her work on racingboys.com. Just go to the homepage. Go down to where you see Lee's picture. It's a banner. It says Racing Boys Scoop. Click on that page, and it will take you to all of her work. She's got her own exclusive page on racingboys.com. So if you want to check that out. Chris Madden won $250,000. How about that? How would you like to win $250,000, win a couple races, win the championship, pick up $250,000?
Well, I bet I would really enjoy that. And I bet his equipment probably enjoyed the payday too, because I bet you he's going to buy some new equipment after that, because just when you go to Bristol, it's just such a wear and tear on your stuff. And, you know, it's unfortunate he's probably going to spend a lot of that money repairing his equipment and his engine. And but I bet a chunk of that goes back to the bank account, and he enjoys it for quite some time.
That's a nice little payday for what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, I mean, what, you went out there and held her wide open for, what, 100 laps, two nights in a row, and picked up a good payday. So you can't really complain about that.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We've had a really good show today. We want to thank Brent Marks for coming on the show, Lee Spencer as well. We'll also thank Austin O'Neill for helping us out, as he does each and every day right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Tomorrow, we're going to have Blake Hahn on. We're going to talk about his win down at 81 Speedway, where he picked up the win. He beat Mr. Timms. And I don't know if that left a little bruise on Timms or not, but I think it might have. That kid's competitive, man.
He is.
Yeah. That's just, hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with being upset when you lose a race.
No, especially when you lead, what,
whatever,
15 of the 25 laps?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough one to give up. When you, I mean, when you give it up to someone like Blake Hahn, you know, if you beat somebody like Blake, you know, you take great pride in that. And to you know, let one slip by you is kind of tough to take.
Oh, somebody just pushed in here that USMTS just canceled the Webster Spring Meltdown.
Wonder what the situation on that was.
I'm not sure. We'll have to look that up. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show. We'll do it tomorrow, 12 noon Central Time. We hope that you all hang out with us again tomorrow as well. Again, Blake Hahn will be joining us. We'll probably have another guest on as well. So, see you tomorrow. For Austin O'Neill, for Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow here on Mostly Motorsports, all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Cigarport.ca is your go-to online store for exclusive cigars produced from the best quality tobacco in the world.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.